And I think there's a place where he even says it himself. But I don't see, you know, but I think that man just can't see God. Man has not seen God. I don't see any examples of men seeing God and dying that I recall. Though they might be there. I probably should research that before I say so, but maybe someone else can do it. It's not the subject of this passage, so we'll continue. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I'm sorry. Well, verse 8, we covered it already, but I want to emphasize it again. He says to the Son this, Thy throne, O God. The Father is speaking to the Son. You know, the Father and the Son are not one and the same. That's why, you know, some people believe in this idea that God is this one guy who occupies these three offices. And sometimes, he, you know, just like me, I'm a father to my children, I'm a husband to my wife, and I'm a son to my own father. That is not God. God and the Father and the Son talk to each other. O Father, I pray thee. O Son, I say this to you. What is he doing? I mean, if that's not how it really is, then he sure is misleading us. Well, you know, you just got to look a little deeper. I do? Maybe I should just take it for what it says and accept that instead of trying to interpret away whatever he has already said the way things are. Why is it that I should go around, making things up to explain things that I don't understand? And that's what they do. They don't understand, so they make something up to explain it in terms that they're comfortable with. Unfortunately, that's not how it should be done. You need to accept the scriptures. This is what I had to do. Just accept what it says. And leave the full understanding for later. For now, I accept it and move along. Because I can only do so much right now. Right? You can't understand everything all at once. You know, even now, like I said, I don't understand. I don't know what I should say about every single one of these things. You know, a minute before I do the study, I read it over and I think, huh. Well, I wonder what I'm going to learn. Well, these things I have thought through quite a bit. Certainly, this is not the first time I went through this scripture. Lord knows. But to the Son, the Father says something. The Father says to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's what he says to his Son. But in Christianity, this is how we understand God, in a Father-Son relationship. They speak to each other. They are distinct from each other. They are the same. But they aren't one and the same. They are one. But they are not one and the same. It's not one person running between two jobs and talking to himself in it. Like if I was going to sit here, well, Dad, what do you say? I don't know, husband. What do you think? Well, Dad, I'm not so sure. Well, son, I guess that's the way it's got to be. I mean, that's madness. And, you know, could God do, yeah, God could do that and not be insane. Of course, if God did that, but that's not what he does. It's not the way I read it right here. He is the brightness of his glory. He could have said he is the person of his glory, the essence of his glory. You know, he is the express image of his express image. I mean, there's just one. And that's the thing, you know, that's the thing I don't like about the Trinity, is because 90% of people who believe the Trinity could not tell me what the Trinity is. I can't, and I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into it. But they couldn't even tell you what it is. And that's why I dislike it so much. Because I've found people who don't teach the Trinity, and you tell them, well, you don't teach the Trinity. And they get offended. And I'm like, well, that's not, you know, people will tell me, well, it's one God, three offices. That's the Trinity. Or they'll say, it's like a light bulb with different wattages. That's the Trinity. It's like water. He's solid, liquid, and gas. That's the Trinity. Well, none of that describes that doctrine. And so the word has come to mean almost nothing. It means whatever people want it to mean. But it means very specifically, historically, it has a meaning. It meant what they meant when they talked about it in 400 AD. When they argued over whether it was the same essence or similar essences. Which to me is just, you're splitting hairs. And I don't go with that stuff. To me, it's, I don't know how you can split hairs over something that's so deep. You want to put God in a nutshell. That's what it is. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not an expert on that doctrine or that meeting by any means. I mean, the Council of Nicaea and all that, or the Trinity. I'm not an expert. I do know enough about it to recognize when people don't believe it. When their interpretation, what it is they have their own interpretation of what God is. And they call that interpretation the Trinity. In fact, the Trinity is like another word for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are not the Trinity. Though they are the Trinity, right, quote unquote, but that is not the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is not, well, there's the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, the doctrine of the Trinity is the description of that relationship, a very specific description. If you say, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's one God, three offices. That's not the Trinity. The Trinity is actually much more like one office, three gods. And I know they wouldn't say it, one God, okay, three persons, okay, yeah. That's just as lovely and difficult to understand as the rest of it. And since I don't have a statement in Scripture that's just like that, I just would rather just stick with what I got here. And what I can derive very simply from the text. You say, well, Paul, you say there's a father-son relationship. Well, because we have overwhelming evidence that that relationship exists. And I try to just stay narrowly close. And the reason I'm telling you why I do what I do is because this, I feel, is the right way to approach all these subjects, is try to stick close to what it says. Some things do need interpretation. A lot of things just need to be accepted for what they are. And I know this, that in accepting what the Scripture says, I'm probably closer to the truth than accepting what a couple hundred men said at a council, you know, 1600 years ago. And 400 years after Christ, 300 years after the apostles, whatever. I'm a lot safer just sticking close to what's written.